I traveled down an old gravel lane. I saw him through that window pane. I thought it was love at first sight. But in time I turned and now something in his furrowed frown told me that something just ain't right. So I asked him if he'd ever been told of a love that could never die.
Hi, everybody. This is Richard Sacks. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio. Thanks for showing up and being with us tonight. We're in the middle of a real serious situation in the world, which I'm sure you've noticed, with governments seeming even more berserk than usual and people having to stay away from each other for partly mysterious reasons, and people showing up in the restaurants that are allowed to operate sometimes wearing these bizarre things on their heads. I think the technical term is pool noodles, and they stretch 6 feet in every direction.
I want one of those.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should all get some. And maybe that would be advertising space. You could walk around with a pool noodle. And
we'd be a lot safer. You know, we'd be much safer.
Yeah, exactly. So you might remember in May, and I think it was like the 3rd of May, that we had a great guest on the show that's been, many people have been asking for her to come back. And this was a doctor named Dr. Bukacek, Dr. Annie Bukacek. And the reason people thought it was such a great show was that she was explaining early on, well, kind of early on, about two months after the so-called lockdown started in this country, in America, and some other places too, that there was something strange happening because doctors were getting literal memos from the health agencies, CDC and others, saying that, you know, it's okay if you happen to diagnose every cause of death as COVID-19. Right. Don't worry about it. We're kind of not ever going to review that, so it's going to be fine. And they didn't openly say you're going to end up making a lot more money, but they definitely encouraged it. And Dr. Bukacek was in a lot of demand after that for explaining that phenomenon to people all over the world, I guess, and especially in America. And extremely important thing to observe and understand and put the pieces together and see where it's going. And now, 2 months in the future from that, well, no, it's more than 2 months, May, June, July, 3 months, I guess. Yeah, a little more than 3 months from there, we're in the future from that show. And a lot has happened. And you can see the progression of whatever it is that's going on. And so from Dr. Bukacek's perspective in Montana, where she's a physician and extremely popular and just really appreciated by the patients and the communities where she's operating for obvious reasons, quality of care and actual compassion, demonstrating that a person can actually go through medical school and keep their common sense intact and put all these things together. And that's, you know, it should be an example for all doctors and everybody to do that. So we're going to talk about some developments that have happened since May that Dr. Bukacek has noticed, and try to look at what they mean and what that means for our actions in the future, the choices coming up, and what are our best options to getting back to sanity and normal in whatever way we can still do that. So welcome, Dr. Bukacek, and thank you for
being here. Happy to be here. Really happy.
Yeah.
Please. That was such a kind introduction. Thank you.
It's understated, but what do you think is important that you've observed where you are that's happened in the last 3 months since we talked on the show?
Yeah, probably the primary thing, and we might have touched on a little bit in that show, I'm not sure, because it's something that I've foreseen was going to be a problem, and that is the impact on people of the lockdown. You know, we had almost in the Flathead, the complete shutdown only lasted about 4 weeks, and then people hit the streets and weren't going to put up with it. But most places it went longer than that. Most places, I think it went into May. So we didn't put up with it there. But there's a, you know, a certain population that, that was still impacted, and that's the nursing home patients, assisted living patients. Those are the ones that continue to be in total lockdown and kept away from their families.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was predictable, and it was predicted that the lockdown was going to, there was going to be an increased incidence of suicides, which there have been.
Right.
That there was going to be more domestic violence, more child abuse, including, you know, sexual molestation, child pornography, you know, those kinds of things. It was predicted ahead of time those things were going to happen. In some of the larger cities, the police were kind of bracing for it. So they actually knew these things were going to happen.
Right.
And anybody can foresee what's going to happen to these older people if they can't see their family members.
Yeah.
And I have a patient who, in my opinion, died of a catatonic depression from not being able to see her family. She had a very attentive, wow. She was 91, she had a very attentive daughter. And when they stopped allowing her to see her daughter, she quickly became less responsive, eating less. The daughter called me and asked me if I would go see her because I've been her doctor for decades. And so, you know, we get along real well, and they wouldn't let me go see her. They said, not unless she's sick, then you can come see her. And so then she was already a slender lady, and she lost 26 pounds.
Wow.
Looked horrible, became completely unresponsive, was barely eating or drinking anything.
Mm-hmm.
Then they finally let me go in, and I was very strident, forceful, saying this woman needs to see her family.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got hospice involved, thinking that would help. They had to really push and almost threaten this assisted living facility to get the family in. Daughter came in, and at a point where it was clear that she only had 2 or 3 days left to live, this woman, her son was allowed to come in from out of state and see her. And the two children, the daughter and son, were not allowed to go in the room at the same time for a woman who we know is going to die in 2 or 3 days.
Right.
She died in about a day and a half. They weren't allowed to go in the room at the same time. And when they went in to touch their mother, whatever they did in the room, they had to wear mask, gloves, and a gown.
Wow.
So it makes absolutely no sense from a medical science standpoint, as you can imagine. And in assisted living, these people are all in their own room. So this woman has a single room. She's by herself.
Right.
She could easily clean the room, you know, just fine. So they did that to my patient, and she died of a catatonic depression, in my opinion. She became unresponsive when she could no longer see her daughter. And then it just got worse and worse, not eating, and lost 26 pounds. So that's my example of a nursing home patient. And I have a real good friend whose son was paralyzed from a car accident about 17 or 18 years ago. That happened. And she's his legal guardian, ombudsman, and his mother. And she hasn't seen him for 4 months.
Wow.
At this point, 5 months. So it's not just the elderly, but anybody that's dependent on nurses in a nursing home or assisted living setting, they've been kept from their families all this time. And now they would let them go wave in the window, but they had to wear a mask and wave in the window, which anybody that has, how are they even going to recognize their family members? So that's a part of the lockdown that I lived and breathed. Was the impact on nursing home and assisted living. And that's across the nation. My parents live in Chicago, and they didn't see their kids. Now they could see them on the patio through plexiglass, but they weren't able to see their children. And my mother has some memory compromise, and she would say to my oldest brother, she'd say, you know, I have 7 children. Why don't they visit me? And she couldn't comprehend why they weren't going to see her. So that's in Chicago, this patient of mine. I mean, so it's across the nation. This kind of thing is happening to anybody who's dependent on, and then you can't oversee their care.
Some of it's happening in regular hospitals too.
That is correct. And they lightened up on it, and then there were spikes, and so they clamped down again. So patients that are hospitalized, most of the hospitals are empty, but the few patients that do get hospitalized, their family member, that's correct. That's another just horrible example of people unable to go see their loved ones when their loved ones are so sick or particularly dying. So that's horrific. And I had 2 patients whose close family members killed themselves at the beginning of the lockdown. And so, or about midway through the lockdown, I should say. So, you know, these things are real. This is the impact from the lockdown, the negative health impact, and it was foreseen.
And it wasn't an unexpected side effect.
It was absolutely predictable. That's what I was thinking. Maybe we talked about it last time, but that wasn't the focus of our conversation. So, you know, when doctors make decisions and recommendations, they're usually weighing risk benefits. If a business person is making a business decision, or an individual is, you know, thinking about buying a house or buying a horse or whatever, there's always risk benefits, you know, calculations, you know. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it was like a potential virus versus for sure these horrible things are going to happen.
Right.
They're just not taking it from a medical science standpoint. It's not taking into consideration all the different health. It's not looking at any kind of balanced way towards the consequences of their actions. So,
and the other thing that was really unique about this situation is that this was a coordinated agenda worldwide.
That's right.
It was clearly not just one country or a few countries.
That's right.
Amazing that they could get all these apparently different cultures to all agree to take part in the same program.
It is. Yes, it was clearly orchestrated by at least someone very brilliant at the very top. And, you know, Montana shut down. We had our state of emergency declared March 26th. The country of India shut down March 25th.
Yeah.
So 2 days apart. That is not some kind of coincidence. And India shut down with just 280 cases.
Incredible.
So clearly this has nothing to do with a danger of a virus, or I should say it has nothing to do with looking out for our safety.
And in America, at least, there should have been a really serious question brought up by people about the constitutionality of the shutdown, what the death figures were. Because in a free, supposedly country based on individual freedom, where the government exists only to protect your individual freedom, which this one is supposedly based on that, even if you had a 90% death rate, all the government could legally do is say, we really think you should stay home.
That's right, exactly.
But they can't make you do it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it goes against the Constitution. And in the day that they, you know, the 1776 to the 1800s, or 17, they had a lot of people die of illnesses. Most people probably died.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were very familiar with pandemics, epidemics, people dying from infectious disease was the number one cause of death. So when they wrote the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, you know, framed it and then passed it, they were dealing with illness.
There's a funny meme cartoon about them finishing signing the Declaration, or not the Constitution, and one of the people with the gray wigs was saying to the other one, and it's understood that all of this is out the window if there's an emergency, right?
Yes, I'm really sure that that was on their mind. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's so well orchestrated. It's so horrible. And so many, and I'm when I'm speaking to a health board or the fair board, I say that I'm embarrassed for my doctor colleagues, but I'm really ashamed of them, because they're basing their recommendations, like they wanted to shut down our county fair, and it's all based on emotion and hype. It's not based on the data in Flathead County.
It's like a bunch of lemmings or sheep running over a cliff, right? Everybody else is doing it. And the mother tries to tell the junior high daughter, if all your friends jumped off cliff, would you jump off cliff?
Jeez.
You know, and you're supposed to say no.
These doctors behave like true believers. They signed a they signed a petition. There were over 300 healthcare workers, and some of them were doctors, not all of them, but they signed over 300 signed a petition to regulate the fair. Initially, they wanted to completely stop the county fair, and then they changed it to regulating it. And then in Flathead County, we at the time that they were doing this, we had a 0.25% COVID positive tests, and that's over a 6 month period. That's not
and that's not deaths.
That's correct. That's just COVID. Like, you go in to get your colonoscopy, they make you get a COVID-19 test.
Right.
And you test positive. You have no symptoms whatsoever. So, and that's over a 6 month period.
You know, they must not have had the most advanced tests that give everybody a positive, because the ones they have now are advanced. You don't even have to get tested to get positive.
That's right.
It saves so much money.
I heard another one of those stories last night. I was talking to somebody, and they said that they knew a family. And it was like a friend of a friend that told them. But I hear so many of these stories, I think it's probably true. They waited to get their test. It didn't happen. They went home, and then they get a notice that
they take their information while they're in line, just in case they leave, so that they know where to send the positive result.
Oh, it's so crazy. So, yeah, we didn't get that batch in the Flathead County.
You were having to do with the other ones that only had a 0.25%, but fortunately the officials knew what to do anyway, right, to regulate the fares.
Yeah, they interviewed, to the credit of one of our local TV stations, they interviewed with the doctor, who, she's a nice person, but I'm ashamed of her for doing this, but she's the one that led the petition, and then they interviewed the manager of the fair, and then they actually, I got like 10 seconds interview. They said one doctor doesn't agree with this. And they did show all sides. So
yeah,
that was pretty good. I got 10 seconds.
For a few seconds.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of been a switch of the form of government that we supposedly have, from elected officials to basically a medical royalty, right? Of the people who just declare what we have to do.
And the thing is, doctors could have shut this down overnight. They could have stopped the nonsense overnight because they know better.
What should they have done?
They should have said, like I said, the data does not support this. You know, we have, because if you look at the most of the cases, and I'm mainly sticking with the Flathead County in Montana is what I've been focusing on the last couple of months. But when I used to look at national data, so I don't know if this is still true, but it was, you know, over 50% were in New York City and a city in New Jersey. So, more than half of the cases of death, and I think the cases were in those two cities. And so If that's still true, there are probably a lot of counties like ours where there's a 0.25% COVID positive. And our death percent, we had another death. We had three, and we have 106,134 people in Flathead. So it's 0.0028% over a six-month period. That's the percentage. 3 divided by 106,134 is 0.0028%. Wow. So it isn't even close to, So it's a really small number.
It's a 400th of a percent, basically, what you said. Something that's, yeah, that's amazing.
Yes, yeah, maybe a hair more than a 400th.
Yeah, sorry, only did it to four decimals.
But isn't that wild? So Flathead County can't be the only one that didn't get the positive test.
Well, so what happened in those cities where they supposedly had more? Do you have any idea?
You know, I can only conjecture, but I was raised in Chicago with the big machine, you know, the Richard Daley machine. Actually, I think he was mayor through my high school years, and they have a political machine. So if they probably were able to just make things up, and nobody would know the difference.
That's the most efficient way, actually, to come up with data.
That's right. So you just assume, like I had a patient, this is probably goes on in Chicago on a regular basis in New York, but I had a patient that I didn't have time to see him, and he had the sniffles, and he was afraid he might have COVID-19. So I sent him over to the clinic that tests for COVID-19, and in their note, they said probable COVID-19.
Okay, yeah.
And he tested negative, but he was probably put in the data bank as COVID.
Sure, because if he's probable, that means 16 other probable cases are around him.
So just imagine, you know, the fake clinics in a city in Michigan. I don't remember Dearborn. I don't remember which city it was, but there was a city in Michigan where they were lining people up and they were fake patients, and it was discovered that was fake. You know, and then so who knows what's going on? But I in New York City, but I suspect it has to do with the political machine. And I know that Governor Andrew Cuomo just unabashedly was striding around with these big IT guys. You know, it's crony capitalism. You know, he got billions of dollars from these different high tech people to shut down his state.
Yeah.
So and then they're going to donate to campaigns and donate to improvements. So it's that whole kind of pork barrel.
So why do you think they wanted to pay him to do that? What would be the thinking?
What would be the benefit? Because the private sector has been destroyed, true free market capitalism.
Right. So it only leaves the giant companies, right?
It only leaves the multinationals and possibly other small businesses that are in on the money with the city. And that's another thing I wanted to talk to you about was that the acts, what was it called? The CARE Act of 2020. I just started looking into that a little more closely this week and found out that the City Council of Atlanta, Georgia, for instance, they got $88 million Okay,
this is something out of Congress that you're talking about, right?
The CARES Act 2020, it passed in May, and it was an additional stimulus. It was the $2 trillion stimulus.
Okay.
And if you put in city council money from CARES Act 2020, up pops Atlanta, Georgia, that got $88 million from that. And then other cities, Bethesda, Maryland got tens of millions. A lot of these different cities got tens of millions. Now, the population of Atlanta is roughly 523,000. So it's roughly five times the population of Kalispell. So if we got our proportional piece of the pie, and I plan on finding out how much we got, I'll report back to you.
But it's probably
somewhere between $15 and $20 million for this little city. Right. And one of the cities that I read about, and I don't remember which one, the city council was deciding which businesses it would support with that money. And so, again, it's crony capitalism. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. I'll give you money so your business can continue, and you give money to my campaign. That kind of thing.
And so what does the city have to do to get the money? What's the contract?
That's what I don't know for sure, but I suspect it has something to do with reaching out to businesses that are hurt by COVID-19, and then they pick them, so they select which businesses they want to help. Okay. And I also suspect that they – see, our city council, they had a Zoom meeting tonight that I wanted to go to it in person.
Yeah.
But they changed it, and not only did they take away the Zoom so that the Zoom meeting was only for city council members and the public could not physically go there, nor could we get on and make our comments. And they still – sit there in a room by themselves, 6 feet apart, 6 feet apart with masks on.
Right.
So I suspect that's part of the agreement.
It's obviously working. They're all still alive, right?
So. It must be because they're keeping social distancing. Yes.
That's right. Obviously.
Yes, and we had a city council meeting 2 weeks ago. And the paper said there were over 50 of us, so maybe that's accurate. But there were roughly 50 of us showed up without masks at the city council meeting.
Oh, wow.
And they shut the meeting down with fanfare because we were there without masks. So all of that is probably part of the millions of dollars you're getting.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we plan on finding out. What are the requirements? Because
what did they agree to do and how much money did they get
for
it?
Exactly. What did they? And I don't know if it's going to be something written, if it's unwritten, spoken, unspoken.
Visited by somebody who explained it to them or something like that.
I would think they're going to try to leave as little a paper trail as possible.
Yeah. So it might have been verbal.
To answer for where the money went. And so if they got 15 to 20, with maybe 10 million, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Whatever money they got, they're going to have to answer to us because we're going to find out how much they got. That has to be a matter of public record.
And I can't imagine that they would be using it to help small businesses at all.
Yeah, ones that go along with their agenda is what
I
suspect.
Yeah,
you know,
because as long as they keep up with this limited capacity stuff and 6 feet apart, they're saying that business is destroyed.
Yeah.
If it's like a restaurant or something like that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so there's something. I'm going to find out more about it, and then I'll get back to you on that when I find out the number. But
okay,
$88 million in a city, Atlanta, Georgia, with a population of roughly 523,000.
Yeah, they must have forgotten to talk about that on TV, too.
What are they doing with that money? So this is just something that I thought about this week. I wish I had thought about it before, but it was just kind of accumulating, getting a little piece of data, being at the right place at the right time. You know, people talking about things like the health department septic system person that was reporting about septic systems said to the health board, of which I'm a member, that if we have a case of the septic, if we can relate our trips checking on septic systems, if we can relate it to COVID-19, we get better reimbursement. So that was an eye-opener to me. So every county department probably, and departments within the departments, probably can make more money for themselves if they somehow can catch COVID-19.
Amazing that went all the way to the sewage treatment plant and everything.
Yeah, yes. Well, there is. I think it's in Spain. They found COVID-19 in the sewer.
I know. So. Well, they found it in all the soil in the world and things like that.
Yes. Too. So I think the septic system department, I think every time they should get it, just in case.
Yeah. You know that the hospital, we may have talked about this last time, hospital diagnoses of COVID-19 get a special reimbursement.
That's right, $13,000. And if they go on a ventilator, it's $39,000. And I found out in my research this week that they get an additional 20% from the CARES Act. So
wow, I didn't know that.
Isn't that something? So the $13,000 to the $39,000, that's from Medicare. And then they get an additional 20%. I don't know how that works, but from what I understand, it's right in the CARES Act. You could just type in CARES Act and nursing homes. That's another thing. We were talking about nursing homes. They're getting reimbursement. I want to have that question, and I will have that question answered. What are they having to do to get their money?
So whoever is orchestrating this whole thing obviously wants maximum death numbers.
Yes.
Maximum cases now, because
correct,
they're hoping people, apparently it looks to me like they're hoping people kind of forget about the case numbers for a while, the death numbers for a while, and look at case numbers as
correct,
the main cause of terror.
Correct. And that's the main cause. That's very well stated. Yeah.
Right. And the second wave is case numbers.
Correct. Correct.
Which is the job of statisticians.
Yes. And in Montana, and I've said this, but like I said, now that I know that the money is, that there's money involved, I know why they're ignoring the data that I give them. I understand why they glaze over and don't do it. I get that now.
Yeah.
But in my more naive days, 2 weeks ago, I would present them with the data. Part of the data was not just the low death and the low COVID-19 positive, but I also showed them that these spike, I define what a case is, which a case is just COVID positive. That's all it means. It doesn't mean the person's sick.
No, and I mean, I know you aren't controlled opposition, but that's now not totally accurate because you don't have to be tested anymore to be
correct,
a case.
Yes, you're right. Yes, you're correct. I need to change that and make it
you're
work.
You're on the old-fashioned system, right?
No, you're correct.
And if you had showed up at the city council and said, you know, we do have we can only give each one of you $100,000 tonight for looking at this data and accepting it, but that's at least a good starting point. I bet you would have had some attention. That
way. a little more attention.
Wow, that's great data.
You know, I am going to modify my language on that because you're absolutely right. Like that patient of mine that they said probably he's in the data bank. I can't prove it, but he probably is. So I'm going to have to rephrase that.
There have been a number of those.
But the other thing I wanted to say was about the spike. So let's call whatever they're calling,
yes,
you know, COVID positive or presumed or COVID positive. 19.
I mean, spikes, that's terrifying.
But
that reminds you of
spots.
What the virus looks like. It's full of spikes, right?
Right. And spikes of disease. And there's certain states, there are like 7 states that are hot spots for it.
Hot spots, that's another really interesting.
Yes. And Montana's not a hot spot, but they have had spikes. And it's very scary.
Okay. Spikes are bad enough.
But on January 23rd, they checked 1,400 tests were done that day in Montana. On July 3rd, so 1,400. On July 30th, they did 3,200. So they more than doubled the number of cases, or the number of tests, I should say.
Right.
That's where the spikes come from.
Yeah. And now they have spikes from changes in the numbering system. Like, I think it was late June that, from what I heard, and you can tell me if you think this is correct, that CDC sent out a notice that they changed the calculation method. And now anybody that's a probable case is not tested, but they're in a certain geographical area that's having an emergency. And, you know, we're all having emergencies. And if you cough, or you could even sneeze or something like that, and you're in an emergency geographic area, you're a probable case. Because there's no time in an emergency to really check. So you're a probable case. And that means 16 people around you are obviously also probable cases.
Of course.
That's a spike, right? That's
do you have a link to that? I'd like to use that. If you,
I can try to find it. It happened in late June.
Oh my goodness.
And that's about the same time that in Texas, the health department, some high official in the health department said, you know, the problem is not enough people are wearing masks inside their house. We may have to remove some of those people.
And people buy it. But I like to say that because
this guy believed it. I'm sure he believed it.
It's the same concept with the death certificates where they could just presume that they died from COVID-19. Same thing with the cases. And I have said that all along, but I never had any data to support it. I just really firmly believe that. You think somebody has it, and so you list that, like that patient of mine, and then it gets put in the data bank as COVID positive. So I would really like to see that. I don't doubt it for a minute. I'd just like to have references and be able to give people.
I know. That would be great. I'll see if I can find that. I remember when it was announced.
This is slightly off topic, but it has to do with presumed, and that's with the so-called HIV epidemic in Africa. If people just lost weight or had a bad cough or had some kind of an unexplained tumor or failure to thrive, they would just say presumed. I mean, so this has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, well, this goes back to a previous pandemic, of course, which is very terrifying like this one, but I noticed that there was something wrong with that when they described symptoms, which originally were presumed cases, and they were people that were malnourished and had bad sanitation and the usual stuff. But then when they really started getting worse, every one of them turned out to be on ACT. And those symptoms were the ones that they were dying from.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very profitable, though.
The use of amyl nitrate. But still, that has nothing to do with a virus. You know, that has to do with lifestyle. And so that was another scam. I mean, that was so horrible. And they scared everybody into thinking everybody's going to die from it. So this kind of mechanism of control of people has been going on a long time and killing people.
Right. So where you are, is that in the city or in the county?
In the big city, yeah.
In the city of Kalispell?
Correct.
Okay. And what's their current attitude, what they'd like to do to save everybody?
What, the city council or the regular folks?
The city council. I mean, the other people are all subjective, anecdotal people.
Yeah.
The city council are the official ones.
Well, they are sitting there with their masks on, and they don't have an idea how to. It's the health department that has figured out how to save us, and that is by shutting down the fair, prosecuting violators, making so that's their plan for saving us from our quarter of one.
Makes you start feeling safer as soon as you hear that stuff. It's great.
Yes. I feel much safer having a health department that's looking out for our best.
What's the organization of that local? Is that a county health department or city?
Yes, they call it city county. So okay. it's both, and they're looking out for our safety.
Is that a pretty big organization or just a few?
I don't know how big it is. On our health board, there are 9 of us, and then there's a health officer. There, there's the septic department. There's the mosquito department.
Right.
Animal shelter. So
do they, since you're on the health board, do they ask you the best way to do things or what's the interaction?
No, I usually make recommendations, but they haven't been followed thus far.
Right.
And basically my recommendations are tell the truth, and the truth will give people peace and confidence, and the truth will eradicate fear. But that doesn't go over.
No, you left out the part about how much you make for telling the truth, and then you complain.
Yes. Yes. Yes, an all-volunteer, unpaid board. So,
so what are the citizens doing?
Well, we're doing some exciting things. We've been this Friday will be our third unmasked rally. There's a group called Unmasked Montana. It's just kind of a grassroots groundswell. I don't even want to call it an organization. It's just a bunch of people called Unmasked Montana, and they have a website, and they have a petition to make masks voluntary in Montana. And then on the website, they have a lot of information about how unsafe masks are and how masks don't protect from infection, that kind of thing. So we've had rallies down by the courthouse 2 Fridays, and this will be our third. And so that's been going on, and it's been very spirited, very fun. Our sheriff and our police department, they just drive by and wave at us. And we have a good relationship with our sheriff and police department. And one of the unmasked, one of the ones that kind of orchestrates the unmasked, he talks to the police ahead of time and lets them know what we're going to do and that kind of thing. So we've had no opposition, and we've had a great response from the passersby. People love it. So
are the police and sheriffs driving around with or without masks on patrol?
Without masks.
Wow.
Brave men. There's a few brave men left, Richard.
That's encouraging. we've been working with CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and they're trying to get that kind of attitude to spread.
That's great. Yeah, I read about them during the fake opioid crisis. That's another topic for conversation.
So there's definitely a disconnect that you're describing between the general public and the local rulers like the city council and the health authorities.
Definitely.
You're saying...
Oh, yeah, we are not with them.
But there's not so much disconnect between most of the doctors and the health authorities.
Oh, no.
Right.
Oh, I'm the only outspoken one that I know of. It doesn't mean there aren't others that agree with me, but they haven't said anything. They haven't come forth because they all work for the hospital.
And so they just know that they'd get fired, I guess.
They'd get fired. That's correct. Because the hospital is making money for not seeing patients, and the hospital owns almost all the doctors except for about a dozen in the valley.
Okay.
So they almost all work for the hospital. And the reason I stopped doing hospital work 17 or 18 years ago was that I had to sign a piece of paper. It was a separate piece of paper, so it was something you couldn't miss. And that piece of paper said, I will never say anything negative about the hospital.
Wow, no matter what they do, right?
No matter what they do. And I thought it was a local phenomenon because the hospital here is known for its corruption. I mean, they've been investigated. So I figured it was a local phenomenon. But through the COVID-19 rollout, I've been in contact with a doctor who practiced in Maine, and she said they did the same thing in Maine. So,
people talk about the child trafficking stuff, and this is another, we won't get into this side discussion, but this is one of the big things that the current president in the U.S. did that really angered the power structure. And I know some of the people involved that he made in charge of going and shutting down child trafficking for blackmail purposes against politicians and stuff like that. That was an amazing thing that was done. They were shut off by GoFundMe and PayPal. Fought against them, and he was trying to do something really good. But there's another similar big business opportunity that's going on, and that's the organ trade.
I hate that.
A lot of that is coming from hospitals.
Oh,
it's not only China that does that; it happens in the U.S. And I think
that would be with the COVID-19 and what you talked about, people not being able to visit their loved ones at the hospital. I would immediately wonder
about that.
It would be very easy. There'd be all kinds of things that would happen very easily.
They died, but just before they died, they signed that we could have all their organs for free.
Yeah, it troubles my soul. And I'm not passing judgment on the individuals in my profession because I can't, but I can judge their actions. And when there's something going on that you know, and they knew from the start that this wasn't right.
Yeah.
And then they see that it's hurting people, and they see that it's a lie, and they don't say anything. That's a lie of omission.
They've convinced themselves that there's nothing they can do, right? And what people don't understand about the organ trade is it doesn't work if you let the patient be totally dead. That's not going to be a fresh organ. So it suggests what really goes on. It's not nice.
Yeah, and I'm not familiar with that happening in the United States, but it wouldn't surprise me.
We had a doctor on, I don't remember the name right off the top of my head, but he was an expert in involuntary euthanasia happening in hospitals connected with the organ trade.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
But you
said, there is a lot of euthanasia going on. There's no
Yeah.
Problem. I just
yeah,
had my
exactly.
organ donation, but
in fact famous philanthropists like Bill Gates have talked about that in public, that we have too many people and we're wasting money taking care of older people. And really, should we spend the money to keep that person alive, or should we hire the teachers that we need? This was in a public conference, maybe a TED talk, something like that.
Yeah, unabashedly, you know, and his eugenics background goes back to his dad. You
the
know?
Whole the whole audience went wild clapping.
They liked it.
Yeah.
They
were well trained.
Oh, how awful.
Maybe there was a sign behind him that said applause or something. I don't know.
Wow.
One of the problems, and we can come back to this, is that people wonder, why is all this real dark energy allowed to flourish in the world? And I think it's a consciousness issue. Because when nobody values anybody else, it's the kind of thing that develops, right?
Yeah, that's the only way this kind of thing can happen. That's how it happened in Nazi Germany.
Yeah, people here used to wonder, how could those people in 1930s Germany let all this stuff develop?
Yeah.
Well, we're getting a really front row answer now.
Boy, are we ever. Yeah. And like you said, it's a consciousness problem. And there's something that's allowing people to believe a lie. There's something that's allowing people to ignore the data. Because it's not complicated to divide. You know, you can use your phone with a calculator on it and divide 3 by 106,134, and you can see the death percent attributed by the disease.
I don't know what it is that makes people unable to do simple logic. It's not even always math. It's just common sense.
Common sense. So that's got to be a consciousness problem, because a lot of these people, they're not unintelligent.
And no, it's not an IQ-based intelligence issue.
And it's people that are functioning well in other parts of their life.
Exactly. There's some other quality. I don't know what to call it, but just try to call it something about consciousness.
Yeah.
Because there's a natural ability that people have to perceive what's happening just by looking at it. And I think that's been trained out of a lot of people. I notice in higher education, I'm still in the middle of that world in a couple of projects I'm doing. And I notice the training is not just intellectual learning, it's emotional programming. Mm. Like, you don't look at certain things. That's just understood.
Wow.
And it really works.
Wow.
Amazing. And you mentioned with respect to the local response to all this from the people that are trying to do something good. You had a couple of documents you were talking about. What were those? Relevant to what we're talking about?
Yeah, they're not directly relevant to that. One of them was a group of doctors. They signed it. It was like 500 to 600 doctors, and it just had to do with the medical lockdown. And they sent it to President Trump, and they presented it to him May 21st.
Okay.
And it said in medical terms, the shutdown was a mass casualty incident. And then they go through some examples, and they say, we are alarmed at what appears to be a lack of consideration for the future health of our patients. The downstream health effects of deteriorating a level are being massively underestimated and underreported. This is an order of magnitude error. And then they talk about the short, medium, and long-term effects of this shutdown. And so that was a significant number of doctors. It's, you know, there are 1.1 million doctors in the country. So 600 doesn't sound like a whole lot, but that's still a substantial number.
Sure.
And I'm confident that they recognize, they know that there are probably thousands of doctors in the country.
And they're coming out with that statement, encourages others to be brave and say that.
Correct. And it focused on the lockdown. And they talked about the millions of casualties of a continued lockdown will be hiding in plain sight.
Right.
But they will be called alcoholism, homelessness, suicide, heart attack, stroke, or kidney failure. In youths, it will be called financial instability, unemployment, despair, drug addiction, unplanned pregnancies, poverty, and abuse. So they hit it real hard. And I'm really proud of that group of doctors. So, I'm not completely alone. And I know that for every person that's saying, every doctor that's saying it, many others have the same concerns.
That's right. That's right. What about the other document?
The other document, it was just my letter to the city council, but I think we already covered that.
Okay. If we've talked about it.
I'll give you just the highlights. I'm just going to give you the highlights because it'll be fairly quick. It says, your actions, so I sent this to the city council tonight. I said, your actions suggest that you turn a blind eye to data and science, even when it's easy to understand and check for yourself. Could it have anything to do with money you have gotten from the CARES Act? Are you required to go along with the charade in order to get the money? It says, hush money payment is the only reasonable explanation I can fathom for your actions that have no underpinning in medical science or reason. You are all masked and sitting 6 feet apart due to your interpretation of the governor's directive. What will you do when the next unreasonable directive comes forth? And what will be the end point for your wearing the masks? When will it stop? When the governor says you can? The people of Montana elected Governor Bullock. Kalispell citizens elected you. And we did not do this for you to do the governor's bidding, but to work for us. And I had a little bit more. And then I said, I beseech you, mayor and council members, that you cease those actions that erode your credibility and our trust. So
that's great. I mean, in a normal situation, that should wake them up if that was the problem. What's the population of the city there?
It's probably, you know, there's in the county, there's 106,134, and I would guess probably maybe 80,000-85,000 are in Kalispell itself.
Okay. And what about the smaller cities than that around the country, ones with 10,000? Do they all get money from the CARES Act?
I suspect so. I don't know. I don't know. You know, there are are estimated 35,000 cities, and I don't remember what the cutoff is for calling something a city, but there are 35,000 designated cities. And depending on the state, like in Montana, something that qualifies as a city in mm-hmm. in a state like maybe Illinois or New York, that, you know, or places that have the bigger, California, let's say, that has the bigger uh-huh. city, they Kalispell probably wouldn't qualify. So it probably just okay. depends on the population of each state. But there are 35,000 designated cities. So each one of those, I would think, has a mayor and a city council. And they're yeah. probably all cashing in. So one of my hopes is that uh-huh. when we can get the data and we can find out how much money was given here to this city council and how and where'd the money go. How much and where did it go and what yeah. were the requirements for getting that? And then use that, you know, that information, pass it around. And I'm just hoping maybe city to city to city will do the same thing with their cities and find out. And I think that's one of the things. The data, the science is not what's going to bust this bubble.
Right.
But following
being
the
exposed
money,
as selling people out for money.
That's right. That's
this
right.
is another aspect of the consciousness issue, because I see all over different parts of society, people are willing to do anything to each other if there's enough money.
Isn't that something?
Right. And if there was some consciousness, people would say, no, I'm not going to hurt all those people for money. I don't care what the price is.
That's right. We got to raise the consciousness of our city council and our mayor. And that's what I'm hoping, because I think he's a good man. You know, he's yeah. adopted 3 special needs kids from Korea. He stood up for our First Amendment rights once upon a time. And okay. So I don't think he's evil.
There's a lot of people that don't understand obvious stuff.
Yeah. But we're going to try to help him be a better man. That's what we're going to try to do.
So, I mean, I think that's a serious point. How are you going to do that? Because this applies to cities all over the world.
That's right.
And certainly in America, you have the city council elevated about 3 feet above the floor that everybody else sits on.
You're right.
And they're all texting on their phones or falling asleep while you get your 3 minutes. So, you know, what do they do? What's the plan?
Yeah, and they're not doing anything to help the situation. But I'm hoping that this exposure, I'm hoping for some of the people that are afraid, maybe when they see what's going on and they see why it's being promoted, and if they can understand how much money the hospital is making and how much these doctors are getting, that maybe they'll recognize that this is a scam. I'm hoping that maybe this exposure will allow people to see through it, the nonsense, and see the truth.
Yeah.
And not be so afraid. The other part, and I don't know if this is a part of consciousness, but the willingness to take risks to stand up for what's right. I don't see very many people doing that.
Amazing stories in the beginning of the country with the Black Regiment of the pastors,
right,
and all
on.
These other things. Yep. People were saying, well, yeah, I mean, I have to do it because I'd rather have freedom
right
than almost anything else.
Yeah.
That had to be the priority.
And I think that law of liberty is putting us from by God. So it's in there somewhere, right?
Right. And the educational system, you mentioned how thoroughly educated doctors and people like that are, and how they're, you know, not demonstrating high standard of ethical behavior. Oh. I think education now, it's been part of the whole program. You know, not just to compartmentalize knowledge that you learn, because so it's so narrow that you don't understand the context of it, and you're just set up and ready to misuse it and not even know it. And for example, nobody now knows either American history or economics.
No.
And so, you know, with economics, they think, oh, that's really complex, and nobody can understand that except teams of economists to tell you what to do. Most of this stuff, if you have any common sense, you can understand more than the specialists.
I agree.
You would understand why it's bad to get free money, and the whole Congress and the president and everybody else supporting that basically UBI, Universal Basic Income, as a way to be saved from the depression they're causing.
Yeah.
And people, it's really simple why that's a bad idea.
Oh, it is really simple. Yeah. You print up more money, print up endless money, and, you know, a gallon of milk's going to be $20, then $30, and $50. Yeah. You know,
and if there's no milk, because all the farms have been shut down because they tested positive,
yes,
then no matter how much money you have in denominations, it's not going to buy any milk if there isn't any milk.
Yeah.
Somebody has to go back to work.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, and the ones that don't die, you know, from loneliness, in case the old people are neglect or starvation, they'll be enslaved. You know, and I'm just not going to, I'm not going to be anybody's slave. I'm going to fight. People need to accept that there's risk, that fighting for liberty is risky. Because if people aren't willing to take risks, nothing's going to get done.
Well, they always say the safest place you could possibly live is in prison. Because you don't have to do anything and you get all your so-called health care and your food and everything.
You can lift weights, watch TV, kick back, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your plan for the local people to do to get sanity back and get things healthy again that other cities and counties could take an example from?
You know, I think the unmasked rallies, and I'm not saying it's me, it's a grassroots organization. You know, we've got the unmasked rallies, and what's being planned for 2 or 3 weeks from now is something called a handshake and hug rally. So they're taking it to a higher, you know, this grassroots.
That's radical.
Is taking, I know.
Talking about touching another physical human being.
Yes, hugging and shaking hands. That's the uber act of civil disobedience.
Wow.
I think it's akin to the salt marches by Mahatma Gandhi.
That was in that movie Gandhi, right?
Yeah, the salt marches. Hugging.
The British kept clubbing them and everything,
and they kept
horrible scene, and they kept going, and the British said, you know, these people are crazy. We're giving up on India, and they let them go.
Yep. And so that's what I would really like is if we can fight it this way with handshakes and hugs and unmasked rallies instead of having to pick up arms. You know, so I'm trying to
do
everything that I can, and we are the people here are trying to do everything they can short of that. And Montana is a heavily armed state. It's like average 27 guns in each household. So, you know, if it comes to that, we
27, you said?
27 per household.
I can just imagine trying to carry all those walking down the street.
Yes. Right? but some people have 400 or 500 and some people.
Right.
But it's a heavily armed state. But my thing is I'm hoping that we can do this civilly and not have to go to that. But if it goes to that, we're ready for them. But I want to do everything I can short of that. That doesn't happen. That it doesn't.
Nobody who's familiar with violence and has any sanity left wants any of it.
I know. Right on. Right on. So that's kind of our plan. That organization. I don't even like to call it that, but that grassroots kind of a groundswell is what I'll call it. Are doing different things, and then we're going to the city council meet. Well, we can't. But we tried going to the fair board meetings, trying to go to the health board meetings, but they shut those down to the public. So it looks like these municipalities are afraid of the people. And when the government.
And now they've got the perfect excuse not to deal with them, right?
Because of
the pandemic is too terrifying.
Yes. Well, it's a quarter of, you know, I think it's up to 0.31%. I think it went up from a quarter of 1%.
Yeah, so, but these spikes and waves and everything.
Yes. And if we get 4 deaths attributed to COVID, then that'll go from 2 to 4. I mean, that's like, oh my gosh, we doubled.
Yeah, that's 100%.
Yes, we doubled.
Everybody's dead.
Doubled
just like,
so they're going to probably do some things like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm an optimistic person. And once I have a kind of a strategy, and right now the strategy is to expose the money and where it's going.
I mean, it's beyond just trying to have a logical discussion and present the truth in your 3 minutes.
They don't care.
There's no motivation. That's hard for people to imagine. You know, they still hold on to the idea that most of the people in these elected positions will really care about this stuff if I just explain it right.
Well, I thought that way till a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And I've been involved in politics for a long time, and I believed that up until about 2 weeks ago. I thought, I'm going to present them the data. They're going to look at it, and they're going to say, wow, what are we doing? Let's take off our masks.
Of course, yeah. And have a mask burning party or something.
And they did look at the data, and they said, wow, you know, and they said, God, what are your sources? I said, the CDC. And I gave them a piece of paper with the sources where they could look it up themselves. It's not hard.
Right.
So I thought that was going to do it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And they were really interested, and then they said, next.
Yes. And then the next meetings, they didn't allow the public to go in. They
Right. You showed them their mistake.
So not only none of the public can go there, but the public can't even give input. We can't even get on Zoom.
Right.
So they've really shut out the public.
And there's no mask safe enough for a Zoom meeting.
Well, you don't know who else is in the room. You know, if you're sitting there as a citizen, there could be other people.
That's right.
You just never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I believe too, and maybe I could be wrong, but I think part of this, it's a sign that they actually are fearful of the people. You know, when the government fears the people, there's liberty. And so
So maybe that's coming, right?
Yes. That's what it looks like to me when they won't even let us give our input on Zoom.
Right. So if people from other parts of Montana or other parts of the country want to stay more in touch with what you're doing to be inspired and maybe brave enough to do it where they are, how is there any point of contact or any group or any website or any page?
I think the Montanans Unmasked.
Where is that? On social media somewhere?
Yes, it's a website. So if they just put in Montanans Unmasked.
Montanans.
Unmasked. And then it'll probably be the first one that comes up. There's Unmasked Montanans. There's other combinations of that, but Montanans Unmasked.
.com?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, that would be neat. I think it's really valuable if one place has a spark of inspiration and acts on it,
yep,
which is what your community is doing.
Yep, they are.
Then the value is that could trigger everybody else.
That's what I'm hoping, because there's, like I said, there's no medical science or data underpinning for all this fear. There's nothing underpinning. It's just like a bubble. And so I think that can be burst with increased, you know, just hanging out and having fun and being unmasked and showing that we're not afraid and showing that we're going to stand up and we're going to hang out together. Just those kinds of...
And if there's enough people doing that, I think the numbers are a real important element, right?
They are. And we're trying to get more and more people to come every week. So we're working on it.
Okay. Well, I hope you'll keep us up to date on everything that's happening there.
I will come back
as often as possible.
But I think that other one, the investigating your city council, that's another key.
If people have no idea what you're talking about with that, how do you get that started?
And I'm trying to figure that out, because there's a government website that I can send you, but that's only going to scratch the surface, because that's going to hide a bunch of it. And then you have to find somebody that's really a good researcher and really willing to dig. But there's probably something in each state that it's a. I could run and get that if you don't mind.
Yeah, take your time.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, I'll be right back. So there might be one of these in every state. It's called transparency.mt.gov.
Transparency.mt for Montana.
.mt.gov. So I'm thinking that, you know, the MT is for Montana. So I'm wondering if every state might have that same website. And that's just a starting point, because you're not going to, but the information, like how much they got from the CARES Act, okay. I'm thinking that might be on that website. But as far as where the money goes from that point, I don't know. I just don't know. I haven't had a chance to look into that yet.
Somebody good at that kind of investigation might have to help.
Yes. And we have somebody, you know, that's going to come and help us with that. So I think those are the two key things, you know, standing up in, you know, peaceful protest, standing up that way, and then investigating, you know, the money flow.
Some people are actually trying, you know, with the businesses that are being destroyed this way, that if enough businesses get together and just open, you know, they'll be demonized and blamed for the spike of the mother of all spikes, right? But But if enough of them do it, it's hard to arrest every business.
There was a town in Montana that did that exact same thing. The business owners got together, a unification of the business owners. So that hasn't happened here, but that did happen in a town here. So that would be very powerful, and just have them withstand it and right. stand together. And one of the other things that that some of the Montanas Unmasked have done is going into businesses and bringing in an alternate sign instead of the governor's directive that says you have to wear a mask. There's a portion in the governor's directive that says if you have a medical condition that precludes wearing a mask, you are exempt from the mask requirement in this store. That's part of the directive. And then there's a second part of this little paper sign that says, due to HIPAA law, we cannot ask you what your condition is. And then the third part of the sign says, if you're in our store and you're not wearing a mask, we are assuming you have a medical condition that precludes using a mask, and we will not ask you. So they're going into the businesses and giving these signs to the business owners and recommending that they put them up in their window.
And so this all comes from Americans with Disabilities Act as a federal law, right?
We use HIPAA instead of ADA, but
HIPAA is the one that says you don't have to say what your condition is.
You don't have to say, right. But
what ADA says, the private business can't keep you out if you're in certain categories.
So that's the basis probably of the governor putting that in the directive then.
They don't do that because they're being nice. They do that because they have no choice.
Oh, right.
Otherwise, they could be sued for violating ADA.
Right.
And so a lot of these groups that we've been talking to that are working with sheriffs and everything, they're talking about what governments can't illegally do.
Okay.
But a lot of them still think that a private business can throw you out for, like, not having a mask because of a disability. And apparently that's wrong. And it's not widely known. And those businesses, even the big ones, could be sued for breaking ADA. If that ever got widely known,
it would be awesome. So that's that constitutional sheriff group is saying that?
Well, they're not the ones that are saying what I just said about private businesses. They're saying that the sheriff in your county, and this is every county in the U.S., and really it should be in every country in the world, but it's documented in the U.S., that they can interpose themselves between a citizen or a group of citizens and a state or federal or county agency that is operating unconstitutionally.
Okay.
And so they're asking everybody to go to CSPOA.org, which I think is good, and join it, because they don't even have any money to operate right now. And they need to be, there's something like 3,100 sheriffs in the country, and there's a handful that understand this and are acting on it. And they don't have a lot of time.
I studied that organization a little bit during the opioid crisis. I studied them. They're amazing.
They seem really good. But what we're trying to get through to them, too, is that, yes, you know you can interpose between the citizens and unconstitutional intrusion by agencies and state and federal governments. But what I don't think is fully realized yet, hopefully will be soon, is that because of ADA, you can interpose yourself between a citizen and a private company who's breaking ADA. And that's not throwing out the usual citizen without a mask. That's throwing out the citizen without a mask who has a condition that prevents them wearing it. And fortunately, everybody does. We talked about it, EHSS.
Correct.
And I don't know I don't think it has to be officially diagnosed, but it might as well be. And you can diagnose this at home.
Yeah, I'm going to see if there's a diagnostic code for that.
Yeah, I'd be really interested. And
I
doubt that you'll find it, but the test to see if a patient has it is you have them hold their breath for 5 minutes. And if they start having any consciousness effect, then they have it.
Okay. It's universal.
Yeah, it is.
I like that.
So maybe that will be a useful tool. I'm not saying to do that test.
Oh, I appreciate you, Richard.
Yeah, it's really fun to get to talk to you. And hopefully, you know, if people would drop the fear and replace it with a little bit lighter attitude. And I mean, if you're going to die, you might as well have humor about it anyway and just your best. Right?
That's right.
No point in worrying about anything, really. It's never helped anybody.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I don't believe in worrying.
In fact, the most powerful martial arts people and warriors of every kind, they're not real worried about anything. If they were, they wouldn't be effective.
Yeah, and I think I know it's been said, and I don't know if you would agree with this, but that hopelessness is the strongest emotion, and I'm inclined to believe that. And I think there's a state of hopelessness in a lot of people, and it's really, really taking them down, and we need to lift that.
I would say it's the easiest powerful emotion. The opposite takes some work. It doesn't mean that the opposite is less powerful. It means that if you don't know what to do with your internal mechanisms and your mind programs and things that are programmed for defeatism, you sink into it without effort, and it takes over. The other side is actually
very
strong.
Well stated. Because
the other side is stronger.
Because hope is very, very powerful.
Yeah.
That's why when I have a strategy, I get really excited. You know, if I hear something that's really horrible that's happening, the invisible government. But
right.
When I hear something horrible that's happening, but yet I have a strategy.
I think what we're supposed to never find out, among many things that we're not supposed to ever find out, is our own individual potential and who we are. Because if we learn how to overcome the mind programs for negativity, not to get us to have to avoid everything to do that, but be so in touch with it internally that we can deal with anything on the outside without being discouraged, they can never afford us to learn about that.
And pass it on, yeah.
Yeah, it's very contagious. I mean, COVID-19 has no chance against that.
Well,
this would be the real pandemic.
A contagion of hope and love. It sounds
great.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
We'll talk soon. All right. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you too. It was great. So there goes Dr. Annie Bukacek, who's doing some great work in the Flathead area around Kalispell, Montana, that she's hoping will inspire you wherever you are to bring back sanity and harmony and a peaceful resolution to all this stuff. And I think it's great to have doctors like that, or any people in any walk of life, any profession, or kids, men, women, anybody who can kind of get back in touch with common sense and what should be normal and overcome the strong momentum towards a state of insanity right now. If you want to see a little bit more of what Dr. Bukacek is doing, you can always look her up on search engine, but she's also mentioning the site Montanans Unmasked. In other words, people that live in Montana, MontanansUnmasked.com. And that's a group that is trying to bring back their local rulers to sanity and realize that this terrifying, deadly pandemic is hardly killing anybody, and maybe nobody at all. It's hard to tell because the numbers are fake. As she was saying, the tests are not reliable at all. So there's no real data of what's happening that's so terrifying, and certainly not worth shutting down major economies for that, because if you do that, it's not just numbers on a stock market. It's everybody's ability to get food and to support their families and themselves and take care of their kids and everything else. That's what's being threatened by the lockdowns. And her point was they were never justified at all. And I think she's completely right about that. She also mentioned the site Transparency in, Transparency in Government? Yeah, I think so. Transparency in Government. TransparencyMT.gov is the one she mentioned. And the MT part is about Montana. And she was speculating that probably if you put transparency and then the abbreviation from your state, .gov, they might have some data that would be useful about how cities are profiting from the CARES Act and possibly other money too that makes them want to continue the lockdown even though it's disastrous for the economy. So anything like that should be looked into. What else? Also, the ADA is really important, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and that appears to be the reason that local, state and local officials are leaving exceptions and exemptions in every mask order. Because according to the Americans with Disabilities Act, anybody that's got any kind of health condition that if you try to keep them out of a private store or private company, you're breaking the law with ADA. And Peggy Hall is doing a lot of great work with that too. Her site, which is worth looking at, is thehealthyamerican.org. If that's wrong, you can put in The Healthy American in a search engine, and like DuckDuckGo, and it will come up. She'll be back on the show soon, from what I can tell. And her work is really worth following. And she's got a lot of videos that, as far as I know, are still up on YouTube. Also, Patrick Wood, who was a guest on our show very recently, has an organization called Citizens for Free Speech. I think that one's .com, but you can check and make sure. And they are giving people this little card that explain the exemptions to the mask orders, and trying to do their part in bringing it back to sanity, saying the masks are making people sick. They're cutting down the airflow, which cuts down oxygen. They've done tests with an oxygen probe behind the mask, where you're rebreathing the CO2 and everything that you breathe out. And from the tests that I've seen that have been doing that are below the OSHA minimum safe standard for oxygen that you need. And people that have gone so far as exercising and or being in hot weather in those masks are really endangering their health. And it's important to know about that. And I don't think most of the people are not aware of what that is, because if we became aware of what the masks are really doing, not spreading, not preventing the spread of viral transmission, but just inhibiting the health and the immune system of the people that wear them, they would be over the first day. And it's important to get our awareness back of what's really going on. That's what the whole message of Dr. Bukacek was tonight. So I hope you got a lot out of it. Remember that we have Saturday shows too, and there's a Saturday show at 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern, I guess, and that's a live show, Lost Arts Radio Live, related to current events in some way, sometimes just us, and sometimes guests come to help us out with that. And then right after that is the Planetary Healing Club, which is a private membership group, one of the few things we charge for. No commercials, as you notice. And if you get into that, there's a portal at planetaryhealingclub.com, soon to be upgraded in the next little while, I hope. And there we can talk in an atmosphere of mutual support that doesn't get censored, share information that I've been working on for decades and a lot of other people are working on about the real health information that's violently suppressed in America and most of the world. To make you learn things that allow you to take control of getting your own health back, your own energy level, your own vitality, change away from the supposed normal aging process that really is not normal at all. And you don't have to be subject to it the way that you're told. And also consciousness tools that make you a lot more powerful in whatever you're doing. So if you're interested in any of that, check out planetaryhealingclub.com. And let's see, if you have the resources to try to keep us on air without commercials or anything and just donate to our cause and the school that we want to build, all the stuff that we have waiting, that we have donate buttons at Lost Art Radio, lostartsradio.com and lostartsresearchinstitute.org. That's a nonprofit that runs the whole thing. And also we have a Subscribestar page at subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. Any comments or questions, anything you want to say and share with us during the week, you're welcome to do that. You can write to me, richard@lostartsradio.com, and we'll read all of them, respond as time allows. The whole point is to get through the multiple levels of fraud and crisis that are affecting the whole world right now, dragging it towards a dark future, and reverse that so that we don't have to have that happen and have, basically, in simple terms, that we all end up okay. And if you're in favor of that, help us stay on the air if you can. And make sure not to miss the shows. And we'll look forward to hearing from you and maybe seeing you in the meetings of Planetary Healing Club. So thanks for joining us to meet Dr. Bukacek again. And I'm sure we'll hear more from her as soon as possible. And we'll look forward to sharing it with you. So we'll see you soon.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on 2 YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
I traveled down an old gravel lane. I saw him through that window pane.
first sight. But in time I turned and now something in his furrowed frown told me that something just ain't right. So I asked him if he'd ever been told of a love that could never die.
If I stay here or if I go.